2 weeks ago, we did announce the fact that 3CI is going to be planting in Stellenbosch. Yeah. And I say 3CI because it is 3CI. It's not necessarily just a couple that is going, but as a church, we're wanting to be obedient to God. And so it's God's story. It's not ours. We get to be a part of his story, and we just felt like today we wanted to share something of the story that God has had us on and how he's brought us to this point. Before we get into that, though, I'd just like us to take a look at something in Ephesians, just to kind of set the tone, because it's important that when we talk about being obedient to God and responding to that call, that we know what we're doing and that we contextualize it well, and we don't get all mixed up with why we're doing what we're doing. So this is my beautiful wife, Antoinette, and baby, if you could just read from Ephesians 3, the guys with the slides, you can pop that up as we go.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of this glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received.
Amen. Just a very powerful passage. It's Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. It's not a... I'm just going to put this over here. It's not a... So it's not a Jewish Christian church, it's Gentiles. And he writes this very encouraging thing, which I think is drawing out three different calls of God, because there's more than just coming to salvation. That is the one call, that God calls us into a relationship with him. He draws us into this incredible relationship where we go from being dead, which is what Paul refers to it earlier on in the letter. He's like, you were dead. And then God saved you. You didn't save yourself. You didn't wake yourself up to this. He woke you up. He made it possible. He even gave you the faith to believe. And he's brought you into this adopted situation where you are part of the family of God. You are a child of God, no longer an enemy of God. And so he can say, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. Because he's no longer just this almighty God that created everything. He's now become my Father because I'm his child. And then he includes everyone. And he says, from whom every family in heaven. So he's basically saying everyone that comes to this place of believing in Jesus is on an even level. And they felt inferior because they weren't Jewish. And the Jews weren't making it like helpful in terms of how they were dealing with things. So he says, like, don't worry, we all derive the same name. The gospel is the great leveler, but God calls us to relationship. But then God also calls us to fellowship. And there's this mention of the fact that Christ may dwell in you. There's a dwelling that takes place. Like, we receive Jesus, he's in our hearts, but then there's this ongoing greater measure where he fills our hearts. He displaces everything else in our hearts. He fills every cavity, and as we fellowship and as we walk with him, we grow in this knowledge of just how much we are loved by him. And that love is the motivation for our lives. And then he says, and as that happens, so there's a fullness of God. There's a greater measure of the fullness of God that takes place. And when that does, we receive power for living. So we have a motivation for loving others, and that's the love that we have, that God has given us, that we would know the full dimensions of it, that you would grasp just how high, how wide, just the full measure. And as this comes into your heart, so the fellowship that you have with me transforms you and changes everything about you. You're not just called into a relationship with me. You're called into a fellowship, a walk with me. And I think it's good for us to understand the difference, the distinction between those two. So if I take my son Mark, when he was born, the relationship was established. Father, son. And so we're together, but there's times where he'll go on a rugby camp and he'll be away from me. And we don't quite have that close contact. But it doesn't take away the fact that that relationship is still in place. Like, we don't stop being a father and son relationship just because the fellowship is not what it used to be in that time that he's away. Yeah. Or if he does something that disappoints me and like discipline kicks in and, you know, like there's that awkward silence and we don't quite know what to do with one another. It's like it doesn't compromise the relationship. And I think sometimes we measure our fellowship with God as a indicator of our relationship with Him, but actually it's not that. We're called to a relationship, and then as a result, we are in this relationship because God has brought us into that relationship, and He makes us children. And as a result, there's nothing that can snatch us from His hands. It's just so beautiful. And so whether we're hearing God or we're not hearing God, or whether we're having our quiet times or not having our quiet times, I mean, there's a flow from that relationship, but it's not the thing that measures whether we are in relationship with Him or not. And that's so important for us to get. Otherwise, it's like, oh man, look, rah, rah, obedience. Let's respond to the call of God because, you know, if we don't, maybe we're not in relationship with Him. No, that's not right. We respond to the call of God as a flow from the relationship that we have. It's what causes our obedience. So just important for us to get the distinction. The other thing that He calls us to is partnership. Because God has a mission. He is on mission. Jesus came to this earth with a mission. And then, like we heard over the weekend with Terrence, it's not like He did it for 3 years and then left. His mission is continuing. He said to the disciples, I'm with you always. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. We're going to carry on the thing that I started. So it's not just the Gospels and that's like Jesus is the main character and then we've got these New Testament epistles. Acts starts with where it left off to say, okay, well now we're going to carry on with this thing and God is on mission. And we read from New Testament scripture that the agent of that mission is the church. That's God's design. Doesn't matter what else is out there. You might get excited about a whole bunch of different movements and ministries or whatever you want to call it, but the church is God's design. It's what He put together to say, my mission will continue, and the agent for that is the church, which means we get to partner with Him. We're not working for God. We're working with Him. He's saving people. He's seeking out the lost and drawing them to Himself, and we get to be a part of that. So we partner with God. So we're called to relationship, fellowship, and partnership. But I think it's just good for us to know the distinction between those things. So when we're saying yes to God, we're not saying yes to the relationship. That's already been established. And let's know that we can live our lives in a way that the fullness of God becomes ours, and we grow in our understanding of just how much He loves us. Although the way Paul puts it, it's like a knowledge that surpasses knowledge. You know, this is not an intellectual thing. This is a knowing in your inner being, just how much you're loved. And that just catapults us into a different way of living. But God is committed to our call, and He's committed to the call over our lives. Also in Ephesians, a little bit earlier on, Paul speaks about the good works that God has prepared for us in advance. Before you were even born, there was something He had in mind for you. And God is such a gentleman. He doesn't force it upon us. He puts it to us. And in His sovereign, beautiful way, He manages to orchestrate things. And our response to that is so important, that we live our lives worthy of that call. We don't just sit by. So, do you want to talk about responding?
Yeah, so I trust this man with my life. I trust Adrian. I will follow him anywhere. And I think it's because I see him behind closed doors. I know him well. I know his character. I know how much he loves God. I know how much he seeks Jesus. So I trust him. And the more he seeks God and the more he loves Jesus, the more I fall in love with him. A tip for all the guys out there. So, But then one morning I read in about this great King Hezekiah, and the thing that stood out for me was how he trusted God and how he never stopped following God. And you know those moments when, you know, God is speaking to you and he just drops something in my heart, and I just felt him saying to me, if you trust Adrian so much because of the way he's seeking me, how much more you can trust me, the one that he is seeking. And I was like, oh, okay, Lord, that's it. I trust you. Use me. And I was reminded of Abraham, when God called his name, his first response was, here I am. And it's actually a common theme in the Bible. You see it with Samuel, Jacob, and Isaiah. They all said when God called their names, the immediate response was, here I am. And I thought, that's how I want to live my life, you know, when I want to be attentive to his voice. So when I hear his voice, I want to say, here I am, and I'm responsive to it. And I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit in the little things, in the small things, the day-to-day things, and also in the big things.
Awesome. I loved what Chris Fenter said over the call, in that God actually grows us in our ability to say yes. So he starts with small things. You know, like his testimony ended with buying this bank for $250 million. But it didn't start there. And I think sometimes we potentially get discouraged because we see other testimonies and we hear of other things, but we're not quite sure, like, oh, I don't get those kind of calls. I don't get those kind of things presented to me to say yes to. But I think the encouragement with that is just be attentive to God's leading in the little things. I mean, I think he used the example of switching on the light, you know. Just as random as it may be, if God speaks, just say yes to that, and then as you grow in that, so the buying of banks is further down the line, you know. So saying yes to Jesus is a part of 3CR's history, and it started 21 years ago when a couple, Ash and Nadine Bell, planted from Durban to Pretoria. If we can get that slide up, and that was it. And this group of people, if you could just put the photo up of the team. You know, like, you're looking at that now, and they're looking back and saying, what the heck? It's like, this is how it started. Where's Sarah? I saw Sarah earlier. There she is. Why don't you stand quickly? You might not. Just photo back. She's still here. She's still here, 21 years later. Just wanted to honor you. You're an amazing lady. Well done. So there's this group, and they're saying, yeah, we're answering the call, and God is leading us. We're going to plant a church. And as crazy as it sounded, this Durban boy, this surfer boy, Ash, why would you leave the coast? He had people laughing. You're crazy. Pretoria, of all places. We're the ones that was waiting on the other side of their obedience that Stephen was talking about. That's us. And what if they didn't respond to that call? Where would we be? Where would we be? Yeah, God is good and he's sovereign and his hand is all over us, but he's put us in this family because of their obedience. And subsequent to that, there's been many plants, 12 in fact. If you can put the slide that just shows, yeah. So a lot of that has happened in the first half of the last 21 years. And the last few years, there hasn't been much, but I think it's a season that God has had us in. So I do appreciate the fact that there's a lot of people that's joined 3CR recently or in the last few years that hasn't really seen church planting. But this is part of the DNA of this church. We're a going church. God sends. He sent his son and he keeps sending. There were guys that didn't necessarily plant, but 6 guys that left here from eldership to go and take over existing churches. So that would be the pink lines. And so this spider web continues to grow. It's beautiful. But there's a prophetic unction over this church. And that's to see growth not by accumulation, but by multiplication. And that is something that we believe. So we're not looking to build a mega church. as much as some other people would have the opinion, build your 5,000-seater, build a 10,000-seater. It's obvious. No, it's not obvious, because the DNA of this church is that we are not looking for spectators. We are looking for participators. And the very fiber of who we are is that we're ascending church, we're a going church, we're responding to the call of God, and we're going to see more and more church plants. We want to see it. So the last slide is just of these pics is just indicating the one that is happening at the end of this year. So why don't you give us a little bit of our journey so far?
Yeah, just to give you a bit of background for those that don't know us that well, we joined 3CR 12 years ago. I'm not going to go into the detail of how we landed here, because that was God's sovereign hand. It's just another story for another time. But the thing is, it transformed our lives. To do church with a community of believers and friends, I cannot imagine doing it outside this community. Yeah. There's just so much depth there. We laugh together, we cry together, weddings, funerals, ups and downs, highs and lows. We've been through it all. And but it's genuine relationships, that it goes deep, and where you show one another's blind spots, but we grow together. And we are completely convinced that this is the answer. This is God's design as local church. You can't live outside of it. So since I've met Adrian, I always knew that there's a calling on his life for full-time ministry. And it was, I just knew it. It was just, he loves the Bible, he loves scripture, he loves studying it, unfolding it, teaching it. And he received a prophetic word when he was a student. I can't remember from, what was the name, Kerry?
Southey,
yes. And she prophesied over Adrian that he'll have a ministry towards students. And that was now many years ago when he was a student. And in all the years of his tertiary education, when he was in tertiary education, we never actually felt that prophecy has come to a fulfillment.
Yeah. So I'd worked many years within tertiary education, and while I was in it, I was kind of like, hey, there's that prophecy, you know, but kind of towards the latter stages of that season, I didn't feel like that had really kind of found its fulfillment. And I felt like God say I should resign from the job that I had at the time. And so I started looking for work and couldn't find any. And it was really frustrating, because I would send an email out with a CV and it would just come back undeliverable. It was that kind of stuff. It just, nothing could work. And I felt like God wake me up one night and say, I just told you to resign. So I realized, though, don't look for a job and then resign, just resign. So that was one of those, like, God speaking. I walked in the next day, handed in my resignation, worked my 3 months' notice. But within 2 weeks, after having spent months trying to find a job and being completely unsuccessful, within 2 weeks I had 3 job offers that came my way after resigning. Because when you do things God's way, then things fall into place, you know, and he'll just wait until we actually do respond in obedience. And all 3 job offers were in Cape Town. And so this is my hometown. This is where rugby is played, like poetry in motion. And wrong audience. Sorry. It's my first preach when I get there. All right, sorry. And we've had this desire. There's been a pull, and we haven't really been sure. But when that came up, I was like, oh, Lord, this is it. 3 job offers in 2 weeks. Thank you, Lord. And the one was to work at Stellenbosch University, to be the director of sport. And they flew me down there, and it was panel interviews and whatever. And there's a lot of detail to it that you just, we don't have time for it, but God is just amazing. I walked out of that, I phoned Antoinette, I said, hey, babe, this is it. This is it. It's like God could not have orchestrated it better. And flew back, and one of my first conversations with one of the guys here on team was to kind of let them know, hey, this is where things are going. And then the bomb was dropped on me to say, well, actually, we've been thinking we'd like you to come onto eldership and join the team. Yeah. So anyway, with much prayer and God's guidance, the decision was to stay, and we're going to be a part of this. And I really was thrown by it in a way. I mean, I knew that it was God for us to stay, but it was like, there's that student ministry, you know, that was what was lying ahead. And why three job offers? And God, what were you doing here? And I felt like God took me to John 21, and he showed me where Jesus speaks to Peter, and he commissions him, reinstates him, but he commissions him, and he asks him three times in a space where he went back to what was familiar, fishing, after his failing and whatever else. He goes back to what was familiar, and Jesus meets him there and asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And with every response, he says, "Feed my sheep, take care of my sheep." And I felt like when I read that, I just knew God was saying, "I took you to back to what was familiar so that I could ask you three times. But I'm commissioning you now." So the season that we've had here has been so God. It's been glorious. It's been challenging. We've had the time of our lives. But in many ways, it's been preparation. And in 2014, I went down to Cape Town for something else, and I preached in a church, and I sat down with a pastor who was leading there, and without even warming up, he just went straight into, "I've lost grace for this. Can you please take over, please?" So it was like this request to come and lead and take over a church. And so prayerfully, I was like, geez, I did not expect that. But I prayed, and I felt like it was a no. But in that time of prayer, I felt like God said to me, "I will be your rock in this place." I was praying with Table Mountain in front of me, and those were the words that I heard. So I knew down the line, it's going to happen, but the timing was just not right. There's promise of God that came through. And then many words, change of season, change of mantle started to happen in 2016. Last year, I got this scripture verse in Joshua 24, verse 13, that says, "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." And I was like, wow, that's quite a verse. But it just jumped off the page, you know, like when you're reading and every other verse just stays and that thing just jumps at you. And I really felt like it was a word that God had given me, but I didn't know what to do with it. Very soon after that, I had a conversation with Tish Smith, who started Live Village in Durban. I'm sure most of you know, but it's a village for the sake of bringing orphans in and putting them into families and allowing them to be raised and nurtured and cared for and released as adults. And they're doing all of this on this incredible village, and it's in Durban. And he starts talking to me, and I've got this heart for that kind of thing as well. And he says to me, interestingly enough, the DA has given us 70 hectares of land. I'm like, that is brilliant. He says, it's just outside Stellenbosch. I'm like, so brilliant. I thought about, like, there's the Joshua Trader, like the land. Like, oh, wow. God is up to something. And then I had this kind of just driving in this area, a car that I kept seeing. And it was Jumbo Lingo, who's a Bulls and Springbok rugby player. But this gray Audi, and his name's written on the side. I kept seeing it, like just driving to and fro. And I even came to the office and asked the guys, "Have you ever seen us?" I'm like, "No, never." But for me, I kept seeing the same thing. So I was like, "God, are you trying to show me something here?" So I went and did like a little bit of a search and player profile, and up comes his name, Jumbo Isaac Olenga. Oh, Isaac, okay, second name, but maybe that's what you're kind of highlighting for me. So I'm reading on Isaac, and I'm getting nothing. And then I kind of forgot about it. And in March this year, we go to Hatfield. Ravi Zacharias was there. He was speaking, and the parking lot was packed. I mean, there's thousands of people, and we were a little bit late. Landed up parking on the outskirts, kind of grass area, under a tree somewhere. It was like the only available spot I could find. And so we go inside, come back out, walk to the car. Guess who's parked next to me? So I was like, "Geez, Lord, no. I need to do a little bit more digging here." And so as I was praying it through, God reminded me of a talk, a preach that we had for our leaders meeting, a team night that took place, and it was from Genesis 26, where Rod just highlighted the story of Isaac, and I felt like God say that was a word that was given to us as 3CI. It was a big word. It was very much it's time for people to relocate, go to cities and provinces and whatever else, and you know, it was a real stirring to move. There's some of us that need to move. But when I was reminded of it, I felt like God say, this word is actually for you. And so I went and listened to it again, and just part of it is, he moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Roboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and he will flourish, we will flourish in the land. From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. And what Ross said in that time was that it's time for us to move. It's time for some of us to move. And the move is from the conservative to the wild. And if you know me, I'm quite a calculated guy and I don't rush into things, but I've really felt like God's stirring a wildness in me that I've never had before. And it's like he's been getting us ready for this. Also to move from the pastoral to the apostolic. I mean, I love family and I love being pastoral. I feel like it's a gift that God's given, but I also feel like God's put something of an apostolic pioneering. It's time to go. The mission of God, let's go. And then from Rehoboth to Beersheba, which is from a place of flourishing to a place of God's covenantal promise. And I think the difficulty with this kind of call is a lot of people would say, why would you do that? Look at 3CR, we're flourishing. But there is this covenantal promise. I will be your rock in this place. You will have a ministry that will have influence over students. And I just realized that's me. I'm the Isaac in the story. That's us. We need to move. And God just made it so clear to us. So we are heading back to Stellenbosch. But not as the director of sport, but as the preacher of the gospel. And God has done things in the last 7 years and prepared us for this moment. So he then also said Isaac in the Genesis 26 text said Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent and there his servants dug a well. One of the things that Ross said afterwards was it's always in that order, altar, tent, well. And I can't remember why he said it was in that order. But when I thought about it, I realized God grounded me in salvation, altar. He put me here in this family. I've had my season in the tent, but it is now time to go and dig some wells. And it was just confirmation upon confirmation. So what do you think?
Yeah. So I always thought, you know, if Adrian's called to lead a church, it'll probably be a small, struggling church that we call to take over 60 people, you know. But at least there's leadership, there's a worship team, there's a venue. I never, ever thought, it was never on my radar, that we will plant a church and start from absolutely scratch. And I struggled with that. Because here I am, I'm about to turn 50, and I just I just thought, I don't know if I've got it in me, physically and emotionally, if I can actually do this. And I just wanted a word from God personally for me, for my own conviction. I asked God, just speak to me. And I love the Isaac story. I just absolutely loved it. And I asked God, we won. Speak to me through that story as well. And he showed me Sarah. We all know that she fell pregnant when she was 90 years old. But one thing that I never actually I never thought about it. I never thought about that. She had to give birth at the age of 90, 91. And she'd only died when she was 127. So she had 37 years with Isaac. So she had to take Isaac through baby, nursing, toddler, boy, teenage, throughout the whole, all his years. But yes, and actually I thought about my gran, because my gran died when she was 103 years old. She was a beautiful, wise woman. But I remember she was so fragile. She will just sit and listen to the radio the whole day, and just walking to the kitchen and back was hard for her. And I was just thinking about it and thought, yes, there's no ways that she can look after a toddler at that age, you know. But here's the thing that God showed me. The only reason why Sarah could do it was because she was fulfilling his promise. That's the only reason. It was a covenant between Abraham and God. And he used her to fulfill his promise.
Yeah.
And that brought so much peace for me. I thought, oh, okay, I can do this. Because I know this plant in Stellenbosch, I know it's a promise of God. And I know he wants to fulfill his promise. And he'll use us. It's his plant. We're not planting. It's his plant. We just need to make ourselves available. So when we are weak, he is strong. Actually, when we are at our weakest, he shows up more. All we have to do is just be available and just say, here I am, God, use me.
Yeah. And so as we've thought about, I mean, just so you know that as we're unfolding the story, this is still very much our private space, like we're having this conversation, the two of us. We haven't shared this with anyone. It's just this unfolding reality. But we started thinking about the area, we started thinking about Stellenbosch, and then we realized there's this contingent of 3CIers that's already there. You know, people have relocated, and yes, some of them have obviously landed and found new churches and whatever else, but even if it's just for friendship and support, like there's guys that have gone ahead of us. And I think it would be a healthy expectation to say, hey guys, God's doing something. He's sending us, we're cut from the same cloth, let's do this. And we'd be trusting that, you know, guys would be joining us. And even the Eusters, just Luther and Sam, I mean, they had their own journey. It was a lot shorter than ours. They're just a lot more responsive to God, I guess, and a lot more obedient and quicker. But they felt in April that God was saying, you need to relocate and relocate to Stellenbosch. And they didn't even really have the words to articulate exactly why. They had a community in mind that they wanted to build into. But they came back from this time where they felt like God speak to them and share with us as an eldership. And it's like, God's moving us, Stellenbosch. I'm in that room, or we're both in that room, and I'm literally wanting to just pop. Because like we're sitting with this, I'm looking at Antonetta like, oh my hat, what is God up to? But obviously, I mean, didn't say anything because this was their moment. But they had this completely different and separate journey to us. Its destination was the same. And it was, in fact, Luther's and Sam's responsiveness to God that was the catalyst for us to say, we can't keep this a private matter anymore. This needs to go public. And so we sat with the eldership team here and submitted to them, gave them something of our journey to say, this is what we feel in God, but we're submitting it to you. And we would love for there to be mutuality in this, that we're all in agreement and that we can kind of get a green light on this. And so we basically said, let's take the holiday period that we had now in July for us all to pray, think about it, and allow God to speak. And then on the other side, we would come back from that, get together and have a conversation around what do we feel God's saying. So,
yeah, so I was very grateful for this Cape Town trip. It came at the perfect timing because I just wanted confirmation. Heat space, be in Cape Town and just get confirmation from God. But, yeah, being a woman, I think we want detail. You know, I wanted to know the who and the how and the what. Don't just say to me, we're going to what? I mean, I want a detail. So I struggled with it. And I think initially, because the piece of land, the Live Village land, I love that. I love the whole model of Live Village. So I was drawn to that. And that was tangible for me. It was detail. So I must be honest, I was more excited about the piece of land than a church plant. Because the church plant's like, what? It's the five of us in our lounge. Didn't make sense.
We'll get a dog.
So, but then through conversations with Adrian, we had many, many conversations. I realized that this is a call to plant a church in Stellenbosch for the sake of the mission of Christ. That's it. And if that includes the piece of land, which it looks like it will, that's amazing. That's amazing, but that's not the reason why we're going, not for a piece of land. And God just gave me scripture because I wanted so much detail and I'm not getting it. He gave me scripture to just help me through it. I'll read it. in Genesis 22, verse 2, and then 13 and 14. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Abram looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abram called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. So when I read it, I just thought there must have been multiple mountains. But God called Abram to one specific mountain, and he responded. He went up that mountain. And what I felt God was showing me through this, that's where his provision is. It's when we are in his will. When we climb the mountain that he's got for us, that's where his provision is on that mountain. So, and that's, yeah. And so I still don't have details. There's so many miracles that must take place before the end of the year. I mean, our kids are on waiting lists for schools. They're full. We need to sell a house in a time where the property market is just completely flat. We need to find a house there, and property is really expensive there. There's just so many things that still needs to happen. But I think often these very things, I think especially for us as women, that's what holds us back, because we don't have the detail. And it holds us back from the calling of God. And I just feel like, as long as if God shows you that mountain, as long as you walk up that mountain and you're just obedient and responsive like Abram, on the top of the mountain, he will provide. He will come through for you. Hmm. And this just helped me to journey with the kids, to help them through this. We broke the news to them the day before we left for Cape Town, because we wanted them to just journey with us, get their own conviction. Go to Cape Town, pray. I bought Rosie a little journal. She journaled every day. We just wanted to journey together as a family. But we wanted them to come in alignment what we feel the calling is on me and Adrian's life. Their dreams and their needs and their wants can never shape our lives or overshadow the calling that's on our lives. But we wanted to journey with them and then disciple them through it, because they're part of this family. This is also their calling, And obviously we're more older and more mature in our walk with God and wiser, so they need to follow us. So the first night when we told the kids, they were obviously upset and confused and didn't understand it. So they all went to their rooms upstairs. And Rosie started singing A Million Dreams from The Greatest Showman. All of you know that song. And I thought, okay, it's not too bad. She's still singing. She can't be so upset. But Mark came down, and he came down and said, Mom, the weirdest thing had just happened. When Rosie started singing that song, I just got the greatest sense of peace coming over me. And I feel like we need to go look at the lyrics. We need to look it up. So we all huddled together, Googled the lyrics, and I'm not going to go. It's beautiful, the words. But it was just one of many settling moments for us as a family, because I knew God is busy with my kids. He's speaking to them clearly. Where was I? So the Cape Town trip was good for us. I could see God was warming up the kids' hearts over time, and there were lots of settling moments for us. But to be honest, my heart is still tender for my kids, because they love this place. This is where they were brought up, 3CI. This is their family. This is their friends. Sundays are the best day out of their week. And I know they sacrifice a lot. So my heart's still tender for them. But I thought, you know what? Even if next year is a very difficult year for them, I know God is so good, and he's been so kind to us over this time. I know he will use that to strengthen them, to build character in them, to draw them closer to him for their own calling that's on their lives and for their testimony one day. So as long as we in his will, he'll provide. It's fine. But I was thinking, can you imagine we are saying no to this because we don't want to take our kids out of their comfort zone, or we don't want to shake their little boats, or ourselves, and we just say no. And we say no to climbing the mountain, and we say no to the promise that God wants to fulfill. That'll be so, yeah, we will miss out. It will be so small-minded. So I know that our kids are walking with us this mountain. We're walking together as a family, and God will provide for us as we walk in obedience. It's an adventure with God, so we're excited.
Yeah. I'd like to just say that one of the bits of advice that I got that was very helpful through this time is that when it comes to children, they within a family, they have a view, they get to voice it, but they just don't have a vote. But if you think about it, it's actually incredibly helpful because I think too many families here in Pretoria East, the kids have the vote. Everything revolves around the kids, their future, their sport, their this, and actually the call of God is much bigger than that. So I think it's about time we start sacrificing all these weekends away and missing church and missing big moments in God where the call of God is just thundering to us. But we're all about trying to pacify our kids because their vote is stronger than anything else. So let them have a view. Let them voice it. But let God's call be the vote. So God has been incredibly kind to us. I know we're carrying on a little bit longer than, but this is a family moment, if you could just bear with us. God is so good. You know, when I was in Cape Town, Antoinette and the kids came back because they needed to get back for school third term, but I was still there. And one Monday morning, I was getting all the things together for going to the schools, sitting with the principals, but it was a lot of admin and filling in forms and supporting docs. And I had a moment where I just kind of thought, here I am, I'm doing all this work and I hate admin, but I'm getting all these things together and I'm going to have to go and sit with the principal and I'm going to have to go and put my best foot forward and I'm going to have to appeal for, you know, kind of, please would you accept our kids. And our kids are here, yeah, in Pretoria, oblivious to all this hard work that I'm doing. And in that moment, I just felt like God said to me, I'm doing the exact same thing for you. So while you sit here in Pretoria, I am orchestrating things. We are having conversations. I'm getting things in place. Don't you worry about it. I am going ahead of you. And in his kindness, he continues to, yeah. I mean, there's some random things. You know, I'd be sitting in Takai, which is like the other side of the Cape, in a coffee shop, and I'd see this password. I'd ask for the password for the Wi-Fi. Guess what? Stellenbosch. You know, it's just God just kept dropping things and just made it so real. And then I have shared this verse, but a scripture, I feel it's necessary to just state it again. God gave me Ezekiel 17 the morning that we announced it 2 weeks ago, because we really did have some serious wobbles that Saturday night before, thinking, are we really doing this? There's no turning back now. This is what I read. And it says, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the forest will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. And that's why I'm saying this is God's plan. It's not ours. We're not doing it for him. We're doing it with him, and he's going ahead of us. And what an incredible privilege it is. So just the last slide you can put up indicating the plant. But I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for the incredible excitement and encouragement and just sharing in this incredible moment. But at the same time, just in terms of how we started, this is a 3CR thing. So actually, we're all planting. And I want to, with boldness, say, would you support us? Would you be a participator in this, not a spectator? Because this church is made up of participators. We are all planting. There is many prayers. Antoinette's mentioned a couple of those things. Would you please pray? Would you pray for God to come through and open the necessary doors? And there's a need for financial support. So we don't know where we'll meet. We don't know what venue that will be, whether it will be our lounge or something else, and what that would cost, and rentals and all those kind of things. So a plant is expensive. And hopefully with humility, I'm asking, can we allow God to speak to us? And could we say, actually, we want to respond to His call, but our support is either in prayer or financially. Let's get behind us. But there's also a third way that you can get behind that, and that's to go with us. I'm not joking. So, what is God calling you to? What is God calling you to? I mean, we don't want anyone to go with us that's not got that God prompt, because then you'll just be a burden to us. But can I ask you to prayerfully consider this? So pray for us, pray for the plant, but pray for yourself as well. This is the DNA of 3CR. This is what we're about. We're a going church. God is sending, and there's an opportunity for us to all partner together with Him, because He's going to do an amazing work. I know He will. We don't know the detail, but we don't have to. We know Him. We know His character. We know His promise. And who's to say that, you know, when we eventually leave and there's a few people huddled around us, that we won't be able to take a photo just like that one, that 20 years from now, there'll be another moment where that will be put up as the tender sprig that God just cut off to say, I'm going to go plant it, and I will do it. So would you allow God just to stir your heart? And that's the journey. That's the adventure. And we thank God for everything that He's done and what He has put in our hearts, the faith, the courage, the bravery, even though we have our moments of tenderness and feeling terrified. God is in it, and He's with us, and He's gone ahead of us.